I did not see the brand boss in me. And I needed other people. I needed mentors. I needed a coach to see the brand boss in me before I could ever see it for myself. And so this journey for me, Ben, started with, what is my authentic identity? Do you know what I discovered that blew my mind? How I had been showing up in the world was not my real identity. Mm. I am not shy. I am not, you know, all of these things. Like, I am a feisty, confident woman. And I was playing small in the way that I was showing up in the world because of the stories that I had told myself, because of the things that I'd walked through, because of a host of different things that had happened, right? The way I was showing up in the world was less than who I am.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome once again, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Rachel Jangs. Rachel, what's up? How are you today?
I'm doing well, Ben. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm excited to speak with you. I feel like you've become a fast friend. I feel like I know a few things about branding, but I'm not a boss or an expert on it. And guys, for anyone who doesn't know Rachel, she is the brand boss, personal brand strategist, business owner, owner of the Brand Boss Studio, podcast host at the Brand Boss Show, best-selling author, speaker, and communicator with more than 23 years in the marketing and communications field. And her passion truly is empowering you to own your difference. Keywords there to me is you to own your difference, not just Ben or not just Rachel's, and rock it like a boss. So welcome again to the show, Rachel. This is going to be fun.
Thank you so much, Ben. This is going to be fun. I look forward to helping you learn how to learn, speak, teach, owning your difference.
Love it. Love it. I feel like that's going to be a theme. It's your difference. It's not me. It's not Rachel's. It's the listeners. Own unique difference. But through your story and your experience, I can learn a little bit more about my story as well. So I want to know like how you became the brand boss, but feel free to take your time with it because I don't think you just rolled out of bed one day as a superstar brand boss who was actually confident and convicted calling herself that. Walk us through, you know, where you were and how you became the brand boss, Rachel.
That is a great setup, Ben. Thank you. And yes, a truer description could not have described it more beautifully. So I did not wake up one day and know that I was the brand boss and own it. Now I woke up this morning knowing that I'm the brand boss and owning it. But that has been a journey. And so let's start at the very beginning. Very good place to start. Part of who I am is my life is a song cue. So just roll with it. It'll be fine.
Yes.
All right. So we won't go all the way back to the very beginning, but when I graduated high school, I had the incredible opportunity to live out one of my childhood dreams, which was to be a professional ballet dancer. And I still, even though I lived it, sometimes, you know, you tell your own story and you're like, did I get to do that? I did.
Pinch yourself.
So, yeah. So my mom says that I came out of the womb dancing, and I'm sure that I did. And, you know, started dancing when I was a very little girl, danced all the way through elementary school, middle school, high school, all of that. And then I thought that, you know, for my last hurrah before I had to go off to college and get a real job, I would go to this summer intensive in Jacksonville, Florida. And so I did. And to my complete amazement, about 3 days into the 2 week intensive, the executive director and artistic director came to me and said, hey, Rachel, we know you weren't planning on this, but if you'd like to, we'd love to have you stay and join the company. And so that is how I became a professional ballet dancer, which again, even that in of itself is a very non-traditional story because, you know, it wasn't going through a set of auditions or anything like that. I mean, I guess I kind of did because they saw me at the intensive, but yeah, it was pretty much handed to me with a bow on it. And it was absolutely incredible. And I made amazing friends, had incredible experiences, was more sore than I'd ever been in my life, and loved every minute of it. And then eventually, dancing 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, and, you know, to be fully transparent, having an eating disorder and not necessarily taking care of myself properly, my body couldn't handle it. And so what was living my childhood dream one day came crashing down. And I had some injuries and my body started to have more health issues and I had to stop. And that was devastating, as you can imagine, because when you have dreamed of something and worked towards it, you know, I was the girl who you would see like practicing releves in line at the supermarket, brushing my teeth while working on pasta, like all of these things, right? Like it was my goal and I went after it. And I feel like whenever we have a goal in life and we go after it and you achieve it, sometimes that's not permanent and it can be hard. And when you have found that identity in the goal that you've achieved or the dream, and suddenly it's gone, it can leave you floundering, not knowing who you are. And that really happened for me. And I share that to encourage you that if your story has those moments, first of all, you're not alone, and wait till you hear what happened next. So
that's a great lead in. I like that.
Thank you. So yeah, so there I was, thousands of miles away from my friends, from my family, from anybody who knew me. And while I was with the ballet company, I didn't want them to know that I did anything else besides ballet, which looking back, I'm like, how did I actually think that was going to happen? I'm so multifaceted, multi-passionate, like all of this stuff. But I didn't want to sing around front, you know, around people. I didn't want them to know all of these other gifts and interests and all of these things that I have. I only wanted to be known as a dancer. Well, when you craft your entire identity in something that no longer exists, again, who are you? But I'm going to segue for a second and like step off the path of my story and then I'll come back on. It's still my story, but not quite the direct route. So when you are a multifaceted, multi-passionate person and you squelch that part of yourself, it will come out. And I am so grateful because when I no longer had ballet as that outlet, but that outlet wasn't hanging out in leotard and tights anymore. when I no longer had ballet as that creative outlet, all of the creativity of who I am that had been suppressed started to bubble to the surface. And so music came back alive again. And I found myself, you know, being one of those people that goes to Hobby Lobby and buys all the crafts, and maybe you make them, or maybe you just go buy more stuff to make more crafts, right? And so I became very crafty and making things for friends and for my room and all this stuff. And so all of these parts of who I am bubbled to the surface. And if what I had only been finding my identity in didn't take a back seat, that never would have happened. And so I am so grateful, as painful as it was, because in the process of losing what I had chosen to put my identity in, I found who I really am. And that's about part of the story that I'm about to tell you next. So I was then, like I said, thousands of miles away from family and friends. Everything I had found my identity in is gone. What am I going to do, right? I'm in my early 20s. Like, what am I going to do? Well, there was a lady who is an entrepreneur who knew of the studio and happened to reach out and say, hey, I need some help. Do you know, do you have any of your company members or students or anything looking for work? And so she and I connected. And out of her home, she ran a book packing company. She scheduled itinerant authors, and she had an 18-month-old. And she needed help with all the things.
Yeah,
so I went from dancing 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, to changing diapers, answering the phone, packing books, playing with bubbles in the backyard with the little girl, you know, whatever she needed. And really was exposed for the first time to, hey, this is life as an entrepreneur. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that I was actually stepping into my destiny at the time. For me, this was still a plan B. Oh, you didn't make it as a ballerina, so this is your plan B. Little did I know, I was
Rachel, were you ho-humming? Like, what did it feel like? I mean,
I was in pretty severe depression for a while. Yep. And I started to find a sense of purpose again in working with her, but it wasn't like, this is the best day of my life.
It's not like new opportunity. It's like, yeah. I guess this is the next move.
It really was, to be very, very transparent, Ben. And I very much felt like a failure because all of the friends that I had were still part of the ballet company. Because when you dance 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, you don't meet anybody else. You know,
sure, like
you have no other life. And so my whole life in Florida revolved around the ballet company, and then it was just gone. And so you can imagine like the loneliness and all that kind of stuff and feeling like, oh, okay, well, you didn't cut it. So now you're going to do this. And sometimes when life hands us these gifts, we don't always recognize them. And that's what happened for me, because I was being handed the gift of entrepreneurship, but I didn't know that's what was happening. I thought still that I was losing my dream. And so I poured myself into taking care of the little girl. Shout out to Katrina Rose. She's amazing, absolutely incredible young woman now that I could not be more proud of. And, into what needed to be done. And so shortly after joining up with this entrepreneur lady and helping her, some of her itinerant author clients began to take off like wildfire. And they needed somebody to go on the road and do PR and run the book table and do the on the road. Hey, we'd love to have him book for our conference and all that kind of stuff. Be that kind of PR liaison person. And so that became me. And so then we formed a partnership and took on more clients, and they needed somebody to go on the road. So now for the next several years, I just lived with a suitcase packed at all times because the phone could ring at any moment telling me my flight left in an hour. And so then I just dove into that. Well, then in 2005, I started feeling the nudge to move back to Rochester, New York, which is where I grew up. And I didn't know fully why, but I am a firm, firm believer that when you are being directed to go somewhere, there's a reason. And I was very clearly being directed to Rochester. And so I moved back home to Rochester, literally moved back in with my parents at 25, which is not what most people sign up for, as much as I love them. And And I had all these ideas, right? Because I've just been working with this entrepreneur for all these years. So one of them was starting a smoothie shop. Why I thought that would be brilliant in a place that is winter 6 months out of the year, I'm not sure. You know, and I had other harebrained ideas. And then I connected with a gentleman who he and his wife are to this day best friends with my parents. Shout out to Rex Fisher. He's amazing. And he really took me under his wing and became my business dad and showed me the good, bad, and the ugly of business and helped mentor me. And I launched a consulting firm. And so I consulted for him and his various businesses. I consulted for some other local businesses, a couple of nonprofits, and kind of gained my wings that way. And then under his umbrella of his various businesses and nonprofit involvements was that he was president of the US board of an international organization headquartered in Cambodia that rehabilitated women and children who'd been trafficked. And at this time, Ben, if you can believe it, people didn't know that human trafficking was a thing. They didn't know that it was the third largest form of organized crime worldwide at the time.
Right.
And this particular organization took those women and children from when they had been rescued through counseling, healthcare, education, vocational training. And then the women had the opportunity to be employed in one of three different entrepreneurial ventures this organization ran and fully reintegrated into society. It was the most holistic program I had ever heard of, and one of the most holistic at the time. And so the more that I heard about it, the more passionate I became. Well, the board ended up asking me to become their director of public awareness. So now all of a sudden at 25, 26, 27, I am networking at the UN, at the State Department, at all of these crazy places and raising awareness about human trafficking and interacting with all of these incredible superheroes who are literally like saving the world on a daily basis, right? And just all of that. And so it became my identity. It became my passion. And I just threw myself into it 24/7. As you can imagine, you know, Skype calls with Cambodia at 11 o'clock at night or traveling. I was on the road a ton during that time. So fast forward to 2007, I had been on the road for about a month and a half this particular trip, the last leg of which was Cambodia. Got back from Cambodia, emceed a benefit concert that we were doing for this organization that night. The very next day, Rex and his business partner brought me in their office, and with tears in their eyes, because this is 2007, 2008, said, "Rachel, we love the work that you're doing. At the same time, while you've been away, we've been losing contracts. We've had to let engineers go. And we're so passionate about what you're doing. We love the way you're doing it. We don't have the funds to put behind it anymore. We're so sorry we have to let you go." And they took me to lunch. They prayed with me. They called me every week. "How are you doing? How could we help?" Like when I say they became like business dads to me, I really mean it. And that to me, like has forever marked to me, like, this is how you let somebody go, you know? And so now I was 27 years old. And again, what I had found my identity in, what I had so poured myself into, this worthy cause that is an incredibly worthy cause, was gone. And so now who am I? And who do I want to be when I grow up? And so I did a lot of soul searching during that time that Rex helped me kind of navigate as well. And I thought I was going to be a writer. And I decided I only wanted something in the creative field because I am a creative through and through. That's who I am. Even though, as I told you, I had just been networking at a very high level, back then nobody would talk to you if you didn't have a degree. And so while I had international public relations experience,
right,
because I didn't have a piece of paper, I had an extremely hard time finding a job.
Silliness.
It is. So glad that has changed over the years. And so I connected with a temp agency because I needed to eat. And I was very specific with them. I only want something in the creative field. That's it. Don't give me anything else. Well, they gave me this lead as a temp receptionist at a production company. And I was livid. I said, "You did not listen to me. I'm not a receptionist. Like, what are you talking about?" all honor and respect to receptionists. Yeah. I'm just not wired that way, you know? Sure. And so they said, well, we thought this could get your foot in the door. All right, fine. So I go into this interview. I look the president and vice president of the company in the eye and say, I am not a receptionist. I have no desire to be a receptionist. I'm here to join your creative team. And they didn't really know what to do with me.
What did she just say?
And they said, well, our receptionist is on vacation for 2 weeks. Can you start there? It's like, all right, fine. So I go from saving the world to sorting the mail. And for me, there was no purpose in it, Ben. I couldn't. It just sucked the life out of me. And so I said, 2 weeks, that's it. After 2 weeks, I am gone. And then on the third day, they gave me the job of organizing the bios on the server, which I think might have been a form of punishment because like 8 hours of my life, you want me to do what? Like literally, all right. Like there's not that many of you. Like put them in alphabetical order. Like this is not going to take me 8 hours of my life. So that's when I realized I should probably read them. So creative. They had done, yeah. So that's when I saw they had done special effects for Hollywood.
Oh.
They had won national awards. They had consulted presidents. They produced some of the largest sales and marketing and association events in the entire world. And that's when I realized that again, life had handed me a gift that I hadn't recognized. And so, because I didn't like the wrapping it came in, you know, let's just be honest.
Sure. Yeah.
So I told them I would stay and they gave me this project of sprucing up this PowerPoint. Now, at this point in my career, I know PowerPoint, but I had never had access to Photoshop. So like every temp receptionist does, I stayed playing in Photoshop until 9 o'clock at night. Because I had never had access to the software. And so played in Photoshop till 9 o'clock at night, sent the presentation off, having no clue, which I'm so glad, but I had no clue that it was a major sales pitch that the president and vice president of the company were giving to a very large client the next day with no backup plan.
Are you happy you didn't know?
So happy I didn't know.
That's nerve-wracking.
Right? No pressure. So that went amazingly well. They got the contract. They came and thanked me. Next thing I knew, the media director was in my office. Shout out to Deb Stetzel, best boss I ever had. And she came in my office and said, hey, you've got an eye for this. Do you want another project? Heck yeah, I do. And so she threw some other harebrained project at me. I don't even remember what came next. And for the next several years, that would happen. She would come in my office. Hey, you want this? Sure. She'd leave. I'd get on Google, Adobe TV, lynda.com back then, like whatever I needed to do and figure it out. So I taught myself video, audio editing, e-learning, motion graphics, 3D animation, illustration, graphic design, content writing, like you name it. If they did it, I learned it. And I'm so grateful because Deb gave me permission to try and permission to fail. And I really look at that time in my life as like a lab, right? I got to learn all these things. And oh, and by the way, usually it was like, hey, you got this. We need it like tomorrow. We need this 2 days from now. Sure. Let me teach myself video editing. Let me teach myself After Effects in 2 weeks. No problem. I got this. You know, those are the kind of projects I took on. So anyway, so during this time, I also decided to go back to school and get my piece of paper. And so I worked 60 to 80 hours a week at the production company and went back to school for my degree and freelanced because, you know, I didn't have enough on my plate. So did that for a number of years, didn't sleep, but I learned a ton. And I'm so grateful for me, even though it was non-traditional, that my education happened the way that it did. Because I had all this hands-on learning, and right. Then I was learning the theories and all that kind of stuff to back it up. So I really look at it as like I got a double degree. They didn't put that on my diploma, but they should have. So then in 2011, I graduated and I was going to be a designer at an ad agency in New York City. That was my plan. And then there was a wrinkle in my plans. I fell in love. And I fell in love with a news anchor from Binghamton, New York, of all places.
Not New York City.
So, not New York City. Very different environment. I love Binghamton. Shout out to Binghamton. I did not have the same relationship with Binghamton when I came that I did when I left. We'll say that. So I moved to Binghamton to be closer to this man. And that relationship did not go the way that it seemed like it was going. But in dating him, I organically learned what makes a good news story. What will the news cover? What do they not? When's the best time to hold a press conference? How do you write a press release? I became friends with the local news media. I was a designer at an ad agency in Binghamton. I lovingly refer to that season of my life as the mafia because I'm not entirely not convinced that's who I worked for. That was very much the environment. And so I also learned advertising and I met all the local media there. So all of these things, again, were being handed to me as a gift, but I didn't like the wrapping. So I didn't recognize it. But sure. In retrospect, I'm so grateful because of all of these things that I learned, right? Speaking of learn, speak, teach, you know, every single season of life that we walk through, I don't care what it is. I don't care how wonderful. I don't care how terrible, right? Because we all have those seasons. Every single season of life we walk through has gifts in it for us, has things for us to learn, has people it's connecting to, has all of these things for us to glean that we don't always see in the moment. And for me, as I'm sharing this journey, I hope that you're not only hearing my story, I hope that you're hearing the power of our stories. I hope that you're hearing the power of our journeys, right? Because we each have our own journeys. And the things that we glean along the journey are part of what we can give the people that we serve. It's not only what we do that we give them. It's who we are. And it's also the things that we've walked through. But I digress. We'll get to that a little later. So, yeah. So I'm in Binghamton. That relationship ends. I'm miserable at this job that I had. And I had a friend who worked in admissions at a local college. And she pleaded with me to come interview because they were hiring for a marketing director. And I wanted nothing to do with that because I had a very misinformed understanding of marketing. And I thought it was numbers and data and stuff that I'm just not wired that way. But she wouldn't stop asking. So finally, I went to the interview just to get her to stop asking. Was handed the job on the spot. And
really?
Yeah. And was walked into what I did not know was at the time the dream job I never knew I wanted. Because all of this crazy, diverse, eclectic background that I'm telling you about came together so beautifully. Everything from events to PR, to knowing the local news media and the local advertising media and advertising and production and like every single thing that I had learned in every facet of my journey came together in this job. And it came with a cherry on top, which was a team of interns that I loved, that I am still friends with and cherish dearly to this day. So
better
it wasn't
packaging.
Easy. Yeah, right? It wasn't easy. It was definitely not easy. At the same time, I was comfortable. And so then 2016 comes around. And again, following where you're led, right? And I started feeling very strongly directed to step out on my own. And I was scared out of my mind. Not only that, it did not fit my script. Because I had written a script for this when I would launch my business. So in 2010, I was in a different relationship. I was actually engaged at the time. And that's when this idea of having my own business kind of really bubbled up as far as in this field, because I loved that it would give me the flexibility to be home, raising a family, have this outlet for who I am, support my family, like all of these kind of things, right? That I didn't have to choose. So that was my script. So fast forward to 2016, where I start being prompted to step out. I was like, it doesn't follow the script. I don't think it's time yet. There was nobody on the horizon, like that could not have more not fit the script, right? So I didn't really take it seriously. I reopened my freelance business. I put out like one social media post. I'm open for business. Like that was it.
I think this is important, Rachel, because it almost sounds like you're being led in that direction, but you chose not to follow the lead in this time.
That's exactly what happened, Ben. Exactly. And, you know, I am a firm believer that everything works together for good. I would have probably had a very different launch if I had paid attention. And if I didn't, not only paid attention, if I didn't fight it, because I fought it hard. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to be kicked out of the nest in order to find that we can fly. So speaking of being handed gifts that we don't recognize because we don't like the wrapping, fast forward to May of 2016, right after graduation, which is the single most stressful time of year for a college marketing director, the board decided to make budget cuts and eliminated the entire marketing department. So in one afternoon, I had no job, no computer, no nothing. And I knew it was time to launch. And so, scared out of my mind, through tears, a friend built me the laptop that I'm speaking with you on right now. I launched.
They built it?
They built it.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story. Shout out to KJ O'Reilly. Yeah. And yeah, oh my gosh, there's so many other stories from that. Because I had to be pushed to find that I could fly. And here's the thing, like when we are pushed and we are stepping into what we are called to do, we're not left on our own. And so here I was terrified out of my mind. I didn't know how I was going to do this. I didn't even have a computer. And the stories I can tell you of things like that. Hey, I'll build you one. Hey, I got extra groceries this week. Hey, like just more mind-blowing stories than we have time for, Ben. But I will truly say that when I got pushed to find that I could fly, I was absolutely not left alone. And if you are feeling in that place, I want to encourage you, follow where you are being led. You don't have to do it alone, first of all. And secondly, you won't be left alone. Because if this is the direction that you're supposed to go, there will be, I don't want to use the word safety net. There will be people who are drawn to you, who come alongside you. There will be help. There will be support. And I say that with full confidence because that's been my story. So yeah, so that's how I launched. Scared out of my mind.
What were you called? What were you called while you launched?
Artistry by Design.
Okay. I cut you off mid-thought, but I kind of wanted to like figure out where exactly. So we're Artistry by Design.
Artistry by Design. It started with an R like my name. A bunch of people called it Ritzy. Ooh, I was like, read it. It's not that hard. But.
And you launch and you're scared and you do it. And.
And I launched my business by watching, what was that? Creative Live. This is how I need to be doing it. This is how. Was I actually taking action? No, I wasn't. Which, if you're really launching your business, you should actually launch your business, right? I was like taking baby steps. And then like, there's so much more to it than that. I don't want to like, I will wrap us up. But
I've literally been launching my new program for the past 8 months. So I still have my business, but such baby steps and I just need to launch it. So I understand.
Well, I'll tell this one little part quick.
Yeah.
So in the midst of all of this, I knew that I needed a mentor. And I remember pacing my kitchen, crying, just praying, asking God for a mentor. Again, gifts being handed to us that we don't always recognize. 2 weeks later, I got this phone call out of the blue from this guy from Corning, New York, who I had never heard of, asking about this little meetup that I was doing through AIGA at the time called Coffee with Creatives. Which there's a whole story about that too, but which was like four of us. And we got together at a coffee shop and we talked shop. And he was like, hey, can I come sometime? Like, sure. And he seemed like a nice guy. And he was going to be out of the country for a little bit. They were getting ready to have their child and then go to Hawaii. And I was like, sure, you're welcome to. And I thought he was a nice guy, but that was it. Unbeknownst to me, speaking of when you go in the direction that you're led, you will not be left alone. You will not be left without support, without resources, with all of that. In fact, sometimes you're about to step right into it. And until you step out, you don't step in.
Mm.
And so this gentleman, shout out to Dan Morey, headed up the largest meetup group for entrepreneurs in the southern tier of New York. I had no idea. He was a super successful 8-figure, 10-year entrepreneur. And he was about to become my business mentor over the course of the next year.
Awesome.
And I had no idea. I thought it was just this random phone call. And he had posted on Facebook, hey, does anybody know? So there was a movement at the time to create an organized calendar of entrepreneurial events going on in the southern tier of New York. And he had put out on Facebook, hey, does anybody know of anybody holding these entrepreneurial events, creative events, et cetera? So a mutual friend was like, hey, you need to get in touch with Rachel, which is how he called me out of the blue. Again, I didn't know anything about him. I had never heard of him. I had no idea he was about to be handpicked to be the director of incubation for the high-tech Southern Tier, now Kauffman Southern Tier incubator that was about to be built in Binghamton. Like, so many things were in motion for me that I had no clue about. I just got this random phone call. P.S. That's not random. So, and he ended up becoming my business mentor. So anyway, now I'm going to fast forward a little bit. I'm so grateful for him. And so keep your eyes open, because when we look for mentors, sometimes they look differently than we think. You might have one in front of you and not even recognize it because it was a random phone call. So fast forward to 2019, right? I launched my business in 2016. Fast forward to 2019, been in business a little bit, and I felt directed to start a podcast. And I was like, I don't have any gear. What am I going to talk about? Because again, I did not know yet I was the brand boss. See, the thing about Dan Morey is that he saw the brand boss in me before I could ever be it and before I could ever see it in myself. Mm-hmm. And he would call me up into that. Every interaction, every communication, like, hey, Rachel, you got this. Hey, that's not who you are. How are you showing up today? You know, all of these things that mentors do in our lives. So kindly, so gently, but you need a coach, right? You need somebody to help you step up. And I needed people who saw the brand boss in me before I could see it in myself, because I didn't see it in myself, even 3 years into my business. I still saw the girl who wasn't a mom. I still saw the girl who didn't make it as a ballet dancer. I still saw the girl who life didn't pan out the way I thought I would. And so I had all of this shame that was keeping me playing small, not realizing, honey, you are living your destiny right now. You just don't know that. And so I wasn't showing up. I was gaining confidence, but I wasn't showing up the same way. So again, I promise I'll be brief, because I know we're getting close on time, but I just have to tell you this part of the story.
Yeah.
So in 2019, like I said, I'm being prompted to launch this podcast, and I heard the words brand boss, and I was like, okay, I can help you be the boss of your brand.
Do you remember where you heard that?
Actually, it was during my time with God one morning in my journal.
Came to you.
And speaking of morning tea, and so I just heard it. And at first I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to help the brand bosses. I'm going to help the marketing directors or whatever. I had no idea. I was like, hey, this is who you are. So then I start this podcast and I heard the name, The Brand Boss Show. And I was like, that's awesome. I'm going to help you, business owner, be empowered to be the boss of your brand, because I was tired of seeing so many business owners feeling like they had to keep up with every trend out there and throw money at everything, whether it would work or not work for their business, and some agency coming in and we know what we're doing and the business owner is stupid, which is a lie. It is your business. Nobody knows the business better than you do. And I was just so saddened of seeing business owners manipulated into being overwhelmed and throwing money at marketing, whether or not it was right for their company. And so I said, I am going to educate business owners what branding is, what it isn't, what makes it work, not work, etc., so that you can be the boss of your brand and make informed decisions and be empowered in the choices that you're making. And so that's how I started. I had no gear. I spoke into the voice memo app of my phone, standing in the closet to mitigate the noise, right? Like, shout out to the production company. I knew how to edit the audio. Like, that was it.
Right.
Well, it took off, Ben. And then people started calling me the brand boss. Mm. And at first I was like, no, 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 no. This is not about me. Don't make it about me. This is about you. This is about empowering you to rock your brand like a boss. And then in January of 2020, I realized it was time to own my identity as the brand boss, because the people that I'm here to impact and to serve needed to see me step into it first, in order for, first of all, me to be discoverable by them. Mm-hmm. And secondly, in order to be able to step into it themselves.
Yeah. You give them permission.
You give them permission. And so everything that you might be feeling right now in terms of imposter syndrome, oh, I'm doing this because this didn't work out. Oh, I don't know anybody else who's doing this right now in my life. Oh, well, maybe I should, like, all of that kind of stuff. I get it. I was there. I was you. This is my journey. This is why I share my journey so transparently and vulnerably, right? Although sometimes we would like to, like, be like, yep, everything's good. Like, no, hey, this is my life. This is real life. This is how I actually felt in that moment.
Yeah.
And then the, like, I don't need it to be all about me. I don't need my face on the internet. I don't need my voice on the internet. I don't need it to be all about me. It's all about you. What was I doing in that moment? I was playing safe, because it was more comfortable for me and less scary to not put myself out there. But in not putting myself out there, I was not making myself available to the people I'm here to impact and serve. And so, speaking of downloads, one thing I heard one day very strongly that has stayed with me ever since is, honey, you think it's humility, but it's actually selfishness. That's what you're doing right now.
Ooh.
Ouch. That'll get your attention real fast. It did for me. And then the other part of that, Ben, was, okay, now I've been marketing everybody else's businesses for years. I hadn't marketed my own.
Right.
Because of these things. And so then it was like, okay, well, how do I, like, I know how to do this for other people, but sometimes when we do these things, it's way different when you do it for yourself than for other people, right? So I did not see the brand boss in me, and I needed other people. I needed mentors. I needed a coach to see the brand boss in me before I could ever see it for myself. And so this journey for me, Ben, started with, what is my authentic identity? Do you know what I discovered that blew my mind? How I had been showing up in the world was not my real identity. Mm. I am not shy. I am not, you know, all of these things. Like, I am a feisty, confident woman. And I was playing small in the way that I was showing up in the world because of the stories that I had told myself, because of the things that I'd walked through, because of a host of different things that had happened, right? The way I was showing up in the world was less than who I am. And when I was able to really see, hey, who am I authentically? That's when I was able to see the brand boss inside. And then the next step of that is, okay, so then who am I not? Because there's all of these ways that we're showing up in the world based on stories we've told ourselves, or other people have told us, or experiences have told us, or well-meaning but misintentioned things we should be doing,
right,
that are not who we are. So finding that out, because you have permission to not be who you are. And then, what is your unique voice? I had to learn, part of me starting my podcast was about me finding my voice. What is my unique voice? What is my unique message? How do I communicate what it is that I'm here to communicate and have an impact with, right? And then the other piece of that is, what is my unique authority? So part of this crazy story of my life that I have shared with you today, that is my authority that I bring to the table. Right. The authority that we bring to the people that we serve is based not only on your professional experience. Yes, that is part of it. And your personal is as well, because nobody else has ever lived your life. There is nobody who has your exact identity. There is nobody who has your exact voice. There is nobody who has the exact authority that you carry based on your professional and your personal experiences. And all of this is your personal brand. All of this is what you can give to the people that you serve. This is how we bring breakthrough to our clients. It's not only what we do, it's who we are, it's what we've been through, it's what we've lived, it's all of these things that we bring. And that is something that nobody on earth can duplicate. No one on earth who has ever lived or will ever live will do that exactly like you. That's why fingerprints are part of my visual brand, which, by the way, your visual brand is just a tiny piece of it, because there is no one on earth who has your exact fingerprint. There is no one on earth exactly like you. And so for me, I know I'm fired up right now, but I told you I am not a shy, unconfident woman, right? Like, this is who I am. You're seeing spicy Rachel. This is real me. And so who I am, first of all, I've always been different, right? You've heard that. My story is different. I was never born to blend in. I was born to stand out, and so are you. And when it comes to marketing, Ben, it makes me so sad every time I hear this conversation about what's your competition doing. When you are so focused on your competition, do you know who you're not focused on? The person in front of you. Yeah, you and the person in front of you.
The person you're here directly to see. Yes.
Because if I'm constantly looking around, my competition's doing this. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, they're doing this. Where am I not looking? Forward.
Well, that person's going to go walk over to the person that's paying attention to them.
Exactly. And I believe that the purpose of business is to solve problems and take care of people. I cannot take care of you if I am freaked out about keeping up with everybody else. We live in an abundant world. There is more than enough to go around. I don't care if there are 50,000 people who do what you do in your area. There is no one exactly like you. And this is part of what sets you apart. It's not only what you do, it's who you are. And so when you can bring together who you are, what you've lived, your story, how you help people, all of this, now this is powerful. This will in and of itself organically make you stand out from everybody else, because there's nobody like you and you're not trying to be like anybody else. So I'm going to give one little nugget of brain science here real quick, because this was quite literally mind blowing for me.
Let me get my pencil.
All right.
I got my pencil. Let's go.
I love that pencil. Speaking of learn, speak, teach, right? I'm going to teach you something that I learned from a neurosurgeon, neuroscientist. Shout out to Dr. Darlene Mayo, who I had the honor of having on the Brand Boss Show podcast. So every single one of us has an identity center in our brains, which, by the way, is the same place where our goal center is stored. So if you keep setting goals for yourself and you're not actually following through on them, it might not be time to beat yourself up. It might be time to see if those are in alignment with who you actually are. Because if they're not, that might be why you're not following through on them. Little side note. So all of us have this identity center in our brain. But over time, the experiences that we have, things we walk through in life, the things people say to us, the things that we've come to believe about ourselves, the things that society has told us, all of these things create these neural pathways that become like this web over our identity center. And it keeps us from operating in our true identity. Now we can do the work to undo those and show up in alignment with our true identity. Now here is the most powerful part. Our identity centers resonate with each other. So it's not woo, it's brain science, right? When someone's identity center resonates with your identity center, they will be drawn to you. But if you are showing up not in alignment with your true identity, they will feel the disconnect and it will repel them. And they won't even be able to articulate why, but they will feel something is off. Why? Mm-hmm. Because their identity center is looking for the real you and you're not showing up as that. Now, here's my favorite part. When we show up, when we do that work, right, to undo that web and show up in alignment with who we truly are, it begins to unravel that web in other people as well. So when we show up in our true identity, it literally has the power to jailbreak the minds of our customers, our potential customers, our friends, the people we network with, et cetera, the people around us. It has the power to jailbreak their brains as well so that they can live out of their true identity center. Come on now. It doesn't get more impactful than that, right? That's the part of this that we miss. And when we're playing small and when we're showing up as we should, when we're trying to be like everybody else, what we're actually doing is we are robbing the people that we're here to serve of the opportunity and the power that we have to help jailbreak their brains.
Where's the mic? Drop the mic.
Right? Like, yeah. When I learned the brain science behind that, I was like,
what?
Because we all know, hey, I feel like I can be myself around this person. We've all said that, right? That's actually brain science in motion, because that person is operating in alignment with their true identity center, which makes you feel free to be yourself at all as well, because it's actually starting to undo those neural pathways. How cool is that? So there you go. There's a fun fact for your next dinner party.
So we're going to do this again. I'm going to have you back if you'd like to come.
I would be honored to come back.
But for today, let's have some homework.
Oh, I like homework.
And what's a better word for homework? Because it's not work. This is going to help us own our difference, find who we are.
Well, I do like the word homework because... Okay.
Please.
In school, we have homework. The purpose of homework is to reinforce the things that we've learned. So I actually do like the word homework in this case, because if you've heard my story today and it's encouraged and inspired you, I hope it has. Mm. What I really want is you to take away something from this episode for your own journey. And so I feel like homework is a powerful way to do that.
We'll own it. So homework today. Everybody get their pen and pencil. Don't crash the car.
Yeah, please no crashing the car. You can listen to this later. It will wait.
it will wait. And it is in the timestamp along with all the information and all the ways to keep in touch with Rachel. So it is in the timestamp at the end here too as well. What would you recommend we do to take your story, take all this information? We've absorbed it. What do I do with it? Where's a good place for me to start?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a gift.
Cool.
So, first of all,
a perfectly wrapped in a perfectly wrapped gift.
Perfectly
with
wrapped.
With a bow. Yes.
And because it's me, it's going to be in Brand Boss Teal. So, there you go.
And it requires a fingerprint to open.
Ooh, I like that. little biometrics action happening. You're tagging, yes. You know. Tagging into my love of spy movies, Ben. We didn't even go there.
We did not.
Oh my goodness. All right. So here is a gift for you. In order to own your difference, in order to own who you are, you have to know who you are. So I am inviting you to think about yourself a little bit differently than maybe you have before. We all jump to this branding conversation like, this is my mission and these are my values, and that's good. All of those things overflow from who we are. So I'm going to give you a sneak peek of my identity deep dive exercise that I walk through with my coaching clients and with all my clients, by the way. It's the very first thing we do together. We go way deeper, but I'm going to give you a little appetizer because I love me some snacks. So write these questions down, put them in your phone, and I want to encourage you not to knee-jerk them. Really take some time to think about them. Because part of what you are doing right now is you are on a treasure hunt and you are about to uncover the greatness of who you are so that that greatness can properly be on display to the world and to the people you're here to impact and serve. So, question number one, what makes you come alive? What makes you come alive? Question number two. What do you love? What do you love? Question number three. What drives you crazy? What drives you crazy? And I don't want you to stop at that. I want you again to go deeper with these and ask yourself why. If this is what makes me come alive, why?
Right.
If this is what I love, why? And then ask yourself why about that and why about that and really dig into it, right? And then why does this drive me crazy? How do you love? Sorry, question number four. Should have said that.
Number four.
How do you love to impact people and to serve? And then why? And then ask yourself why again. And you know, Ben, back in the days when I was launching my business, watching Creative Live, one of those, they were all good, by the way. Shout out to Creative Live. I just needed to be taking some action. Right. But one of them was actually about this. And this entrepreneur who was leading this training, she was actually a photographer, I think. And she was talking about when you ask yourself why and why again and why again and why again and why again, ask yourself 10 times, because usually it's about the ninth time that you get the answer. So just a quick example of this. So I told you I was watching Creative Live, not launching my business.
Yeah.
So the thing that came up for me that day, I don't remember the question that she asked us, but it was launching my website and why I hadn't done it yet. And so I was asking myself why. Websites are not my favorite thing. I have a wonderful team that can help with that. For me, not my personal thing, makes me want to throw my computer. So, you know, I was just like, I don't like this. I'm not a techie, you know, all these things. But then when I got to number nine, because if I launch my business, I'm really doing this. If I launch my website, then I'm really doing this. And when I saw that on my paper, I was like, oh, snap.
Snap.
So with these four questions, take that time to ask yourself why, because you're going to find something deeper. And what you uncover in the deeper, now you are tapping even deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into who you are. So I will leave you with that snack, that homework. And if you do the work to really dig into this, you are about to get clarity on your personal brand in a whole new level. And like I said, I go way, 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 way deeper than this with my coaching clients. But I wanted to give you that gift today because I think it's something that we overlook and we jump to other things, but everything we do is an outflow of who we are. So whether it's our marketing or our customer service or the conversations we're having in networking, how we show up in the world, it's all an outflow of who we are. So the clearer you can be on who you are, the more authentically you're showing up in the world, the more authentically, and by the way, fulfilled you're going to feel. And then also, hey, guess what? Now you have the power to jailbreak the minds of the people around you just by being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of owning your difference.
Rachel, how do we make a friend and learn more about this kind of stuff? What I'm going to do with this exercise personally, a page per each question, and I'm probably going to draw maybe 10 lines on that page. So I've got my first answer that I can ask why another 9 to 10 times. So this is going to be a journey. It's not going to be perfect the same time. I'm going to do this. I encourage everybody at home to take this GIF and utilize this exercise, but they're going to want to connect with you as a friend, maybe as a mentor. They're going to take courses, et cetera, et cetera. Where do you recommend they go?
I love making new friends. So you are most cordially invited to connect with me on LinkedIn. It's linkedin.com/in/thebrandboss. I'm very active on LinkedIn. You can find me at The Brand Boss Show on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. You can find The Brand Boss Show on YouTube. You can also check out The Brand Boss Show podcast on every major podcast app, with new episodes every Tuesday. And please do feel free to reach out to me. If my story has encouraged you in any way, it would mean the world to me to hear that. Those are the things that keep us going. And the reason that I don't mind sharing my journal of my life story, because if my story can help just one more person, it's so worth it to me. So yes, I would be more than happy and honored to connect with you. Connect with me on any of those platforms and we can set up a one-to-one if you guys want to talk deeper as well.
Love it. And Rachel, thank you for being so vulnerable and authentic, telling your story. I'll be honest. Some days I don't feel like it. And I've gotten on podcasts and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just give the ad lib version and, you know, smile and wave and just get them what I think the listener wants to hear. But we never know who exactly is listening. And I really do hope your story gave a lot of people permission to find who they are, tell their story authentically without apologies. And you're going to help me do that. So I really appreciate it, Rachel. The show notes, guys, is where everything exists. So again, take notes, but go to the show notes if you missed anything and go subscribe to The Brand Boss. Dive deep with Rachel and have some fun with her. Make a friend. Thanks again for coming on the show, Rachel. Did we miss anything? I think we covered a lot.
Thank you so much for having me, Ben. And listener, thank you for the honor of listening to my story and the things that I shared with you today. I don't take that lightly for a moment. And I know Ben appreciates you so much as well. And so I just wanted to close by honoring you as well.
Bye, guys. Peace out. I'll have you again, Rachel. It's been fun.
It sure has. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.